Amen. Praise his name. Let's stand together if you'd like. Let's bow our heads. We open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly so appreciative. Every time, Lord, those doors open, Lord, it gives us an opportunity to be able to come together and, Lord, to hear from you, Lord, as you speak to us and impress on our hearts, Father, what you have for us. Lord, may our hearts truly be open and receptive. Lord, I pray that you would just bless us tonight, each and every phase of the service, Lord, and each and every brother and sister, Lord, that's gathered together. May you just meet our individual needs, and Lord, may you just have your way. We love you so much, Lord. Just pray now that you would just be with us and guide us, we ask, in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Turn with me, if you would. I like in the Capstone Life books there. Little books. Page 78. Camping in Canaan Land. Amen. I have left the land of bondage with its earthly treasures. I've journeyed in a place where there is love. Amen. Hallelujah. I've exchanged a land of heartaches for a land of pleasure. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty's grand. Glory, hallelujah, I've found the land of promise. Amen, camping, oh, I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Out of Egypt I have traveled through the darkness dreary, far over hills and valleys and across the desert sand. But I've landed safe at home where I shall not grow weary. Hallelujah. In a happy land. Oh, every day I can be in a land of Canaan. And with laughter I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh yes, I've reached the land of promise with its seeds of glory. My journey ended in a place so lovely, so grand. I've been led by Jesus to this blessed land of story. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Glory in the land. Oh, in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with rapture I survey its wondrous beauty grand. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Amen. How many has found that land of promise? Hallelujah. Page 40 in the same book, just over a little bit. Amen. Press along to glory land. Amen. Oh, ransom souls with joyous song, press along to glory land. Amazing grace that saves. Press along to
to glory land. Press them on, blind soul, press along, giving out the message grand. Oh, letting love, God's love, be your song. Oh, press along to glory.
Like you've never pressed before, Saints. So close. Hey, man, it's coming. So close. Just over one page, Aaron. 39. I'll have a new home of love eternal. Hey, man. Are you looking forward to that new life, Saints? Hallelujah. What he's prepared for us.
On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord. I'll have a new life, amen. I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the redeemed of God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Oh, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Oh, free from every imperfection, youthful and happy I shall be. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Oh, glorify with him forever, death will be lost. Victory. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the redeemed of God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Oh, what a hallelujah morning when the voice of God shall sound. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Oh, heavens all bursting, saints of shouting, heavenly beauty all around. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise his name. I'll have a new home of love eternal, with the redeemed of God to stand. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord. Amen. Sing that last verse again. Oh, what a high
There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Amen. You have that assurance? Have a new home. Love eternal. Oh, what do we have to look forward to, saints? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise his name. Ramus, can you come up to take up the offering? Amen. That's a blessing, if you will.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we are so thankful for that pull in our hearts. Oh, Lord, Lord, to reach that goal. Lord, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for this opportunity you granted to us once more, Lord, to gather around your precious word. So thankful for it, Lord. We thank you for the desire in our hearts to draw closer to you this night, Lord. We ask that as your word comes forth, Lord, may it find that good ground in our hearts. Lord, may it bring forth peaceable fruits of righteousness.
Yes, Jesus.
Once more, we ask that you'll bless this offering, Lord. We ask that it'll be used for the building of thy kingdom. Commit it all into your hands. We ask in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. When do you feel any better than when you talk about the good old way? Amen. Let's sing a little chorus. Feeling so much better. Hallelujah. Feeling so much better, talking about the good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on. Let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Amen. Oh, I love to talk about him. Amen. How many have requests? Something on your heart you'd like to take before him? Amen. Just holding on your heart. Brother Luke, would you like to take the request? Yes. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Someone in the congregation have a song in your heart? Karen, you got one tonight? Ask if you'd come.
What's all the noise in Jerusalem?
What's the attraction on the hill?
It's the poor people screaming and shouting. They just can't seem to keep still.
Jesus, can't you make them quiet down?
If I did, the rocks would have to cry out, for someone must fulfill the prophecy. Someone's got to raise their hands and shout. They rejoice. Their king came o'er the hill.
They rejoice.
The scriptures they fulfilled. The palm branches swinging, such shouting and singing. Their king had arrived, they rejoiced. We're just poor people screaming and shouting. We're waiting for our soon coming King. Can anybody make us quiet down? If they did, the rocks would have to cry out. For someone must fulfill the prophecy. Come on, let's raise our hands and let's all shout. Let's rejoice.
Let's rejoice.
Our King will soon appear. Let's rejoice.
Let's rejoice.
The scriptures will fulfill with our praises ringing, such shouting and singing. Our King is coming soon. Let's rejoice. Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest. Our King is coming soon. Let's rejoice.
Glory, hallelujah. Amen. All the saints, he's worth all the praise we can give him. Amen. Praise his name. Let's stand together, if you would, and sing a little chorus. Only believe, as we ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we are so, oh God, I don't know how to explain it. Just something in our hearts, Lord, is such a longing and a yearning in our hearts, Lord, to watch for the next step. Lord, what do you want? What do you want out of my life, Lord? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And oh God, I just want you to have the preeminence of my life and all things. And we're in the last moments. We realize that. And Father, things must take place yet. I trust, Lord, you'll help us to not miss it. But reveal it, Lord. Open our hearts. May our minds truly be centered on you, Lord Jesus. Our hearts be centered upon you. Our entire being be centered on you, Lord. We're asking again now that you would speak to our hearts the word, Lord. And each one of us, I trust you'll just break open our hearts and remove all the crust and, Lord, the hardness of life. That, dear Jesus, we could see and understand. So we ask now that you'd have your way and just lead us and guide us and bless each heart to understand, to receive, Lord, to receive faith. Oh God, we ask that you grant that. Thy will be done now as we commit ourselves to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Are you happy to be here tonight?
Amen.
And I trust that you are. Trust that you come hungering for the word, not just come for fellowship or to see each other, but to gather around the word. Amen. And trusting God will open our hearts to a greater measure of his word. All right, we find here in Colossians 3rd chapter, if you'd like to turn with me. As I kind of mentioned Sunday evening about a Christ-centered life, that's what I want to title this evening. The Christ-centered life. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Trusting he will give us something from it by his Holy Spirit, by hearing the word. He'll help us to receive something. Amen. All right, begin the first verse, and we'll read down to the third. If ye then be, now that's the big question right there. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. There's many different ways we could go with that this evening, but I just trust that you'll follow along with what I feel the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to bring from it. But just to kind of notice again now, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, in Christ, seek. I kind of looked it up because I wanted to kind of know what it was saying there and see how the prophet said these things. But to look up, seek, it said desire, or to seek in order to find, or strive after, or crave for. Okay? So he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now we realize that, first, before I get moving too quickly into what I want to read tonight, I want you to think of something. God does not expect in this hour for us to serve him, or whatever you want to call it, be a Christian, however you want to place it, without a desire. He just don't expect it. No. Now back under the law, when Moses gave the law and gave forth the commandments, those people didn't have what he would give a people today. And they didn't have a desire that's been given today. People wasn't filled with Christ being in them, Christ dwelling in them. No. But today, Christ dwells in a people. And that's a lot different. And, of course, we've been given a lot of word in this last days. God sent his prophet, and he gave us the word in such a way that it took care of all the loose ends, as the prophet had mentioned. And a people would know exactly what God wants. I mean, they don't have to be wondering. Now, those that don't know or don't understand, they will be wondering and still trying to figure things out. But when Christ comes in and he gives that word to them, and reveals it to them so that it is made plain to them, they know exactly what God wants. Just like I mentioned a couple times now, what the prophet, as he picked up his pen and wrote, the Holy Spirit told him to write in the church age book and wrote this letter. The bride will know what God wants done with the word. That is so important. Because we're living in an age and time where people still don't know what God wants done with the word. After hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, they still just don't know what God wants done with the word. And sometimes you got to wonder, you know, how, if nothing else, intellectually, you know, you would think, you know, they would be able to hold on to it and retain it, you know, for a while at least, and do what it says to do. But again, it can't be done without a desire. So when I speak tonight and bring these words and I read to you, it'll never happen without a desire. Never. But it's up to the individual and what God has for you, or what he's seen before there's a moon or a star in your life, what you would do. I mean, there's people here today or tonight, sitting here tonight. Not everybody's here, but there's people sitting here tonight that's struggling to try to live, we'll call it this life, so you know what we're talking about. There's some sitting here that absolutely has no desire to live this life. It's not even there at all. And you may get frustrated. You may have things happen in your life, and this comes up, that comes up, and you get so frustrated, and you think, am I ever going to be able to do this? Well, no, you won't without a desire. But see, if there's predestinated seed in there, there will be that deep call into the deep. Now, I don't know what you'll do with it, you see, and that's between you and God, what you do with it. If there's a little something at all in there, you'd better feed it, because the hour is really late, you know. But I'm going to try not to be, how can I say this? I want to try to be helpful tonight. I will try to keep from being so, I guess the word to say is be hard. I want to try to help you. It's my desire to help you. It's sometimes with the hour we live in and the condition the church is in, worldwide, under the message, it's hard for a minister to hold his peace, knowing what God's requiring, and to see it's so loose in this hour, to see it so... It seems to be such a scripture fulfilled, truly, of blind, wretched, naked, and miserable, and don't know it. It's so openly real. And yet, as I said, you know what God's requiring, what He called you to, what He sent you for. But you've got to keep your heart and your mind centered on there is an elect. There is a people that really want this with all that's in them. Amen. It's few, but there is a few that want this with all that's in them. And it is going to be the most important thing in their life, because God don't lie. But I trust that if you have anything in there, we'll be able to say something that will begin to churn a little greater, stir on the inside, and bring you to a greater realization of what God's wanting in your life. And if we can get you to the point you'll surrender, you know, like Brother Branham said many times when he was talking about people come to the Lord, he said, but you've got to be sincere. You've got to be sincere. This has got to be between life and death to you. And until it becomes between life and death to you, it ain't going to do you no good, you know. But me, as your brother, I want to encourage you that if you don't have that type of desire yet, some of you young people even, if you don't have that desire yet and you don't feel this is the necessity, the greatest need of your life, then make sure you keep coming. And give God that opportunity. Don't shut Him off by not being here and not doing what He says to do. But try your best to do what He says to do and pray. Cry out to God. You see? And it might be come your day, one evening or one morning or something, that as you're sitting here listening to the Word of God, He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit right then. You know? And you wonder, how did that happen? That's so wonderful. So glorious. And things begin to change then. And then you're not what you used to be. You're altogether become a different person now, you see. But I want you to think on these things as we read them now. And I want you to really be sincere tonight. Will you do that? Amen. And maybe I'll get to the right one. Okay? Brother Branham said, in trying to do God a service without His will, or without being the will of God. Paragraph 196. And this was July 18, 1965. It was in his prayer he said this, but I want you to listen to what he says. He's praying, he said, heal the sick and the afflicted. Lord, we pray that tonight you'll give us such a great service. May there not be a feeble person in our midst because of your presence, Lord. And may our hearts continually be set on thee. I read the scripture where Apostle Paul said, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now, do we realize sitting here today or this evening how many things on the earth that's so easily to set your affection on? But he said, don't set your affection on things of the earth. Set it on things above. You see? Make sure it's in the right place with him in Christ. Don't let the things of this life overcome you and overpower you. Jobs, family, children itself, homes, other material things. No. We can't seem to stress that enough, because the prophet even mentioned that in the church age book. This age of soft living. There's just plenty of everything. You say, well, I wish I had this and I wish I had this. I'm going to tell you what, regardless, as I've said before, if we just have a roof over our head and it's a decent place to live, may not be the nicest, but it's decent. You got an automobile to get back and forth to work. You got clothes on your back. You got food to eat. You are so much better off than many, many people on this earth. So much better off. Amen. And they would look at us and think, my, look at the nice things they got. They might see you in your home, and it may, yeah, you might have a leak over here, and you might be something over here going on and everything, but you got windows. They don't even have glass windows, some people. Many, many thousands and thousands don't have anything like that luxury, you know? And they would look at your place and look, and you might have an old automobile. It might have some rust spots on it. And say, my, they can ride in a car. We don't have a car to ride in. You know? Plenty of clothes, plenty of food. You don't have to be out scrounging around trying to find food. No. Friends, I've seen people in our own town. I don't know if they just do it, where they're that great a need. But I have seen people in our own town go in the dumpster next to the car wash and get food out and eat it by the dumpster. I've seen people walk on the sidewalk past the shop. I haven't seen them, because if I would, I'd have run out there and tried to give them some clothes, shoes or something. But the men told me I can catch them. I couldn't find out where they went. I even went up the street, couldn't find them. In the middle of winter time and snow on the ground, walking barefoot, footed up the sidewalk and barely anything on. And I think, you know, that's in our country. But how do we think of these things that we have? How important is it to us? I mean, is it really that important to us that we would for 1 second let it distract us from doing the will of God, or from keeping our heart, our affection centered on things above? Would we for 1 minute let it void out of our life what God wants out of us? What he wants us to feel about him and think about him, and how we want he wants us to love him and do everything he wants us to do. Do we let any of those things distract us that would cause us to not be led by the Holy Spirit to do something he wants done? Does it distract us at any time, even one time? One time is bad. Not alone many times. But one time to miss the mind of God and what he wants in our life as an individual. To let those things in life, material things and things around us, do that is a very dangerous thing. Because we know we are to be led by the Spirit of God. That's the sons of God. You see? Now let's go on. Let's find out what he says here. May our hearts continually be set on thee, and we know, Lord, that money, property, things of the world have no meaning. I was talking to a man about a man that was really filled with the Holy Ghost, that really had an experience that Jesus Christ was alive. Alive as can be. A man that really had that experience. and where properties and money and all these different things had no meaning. No meaning. I wonder if somehow the Holy Spirit could help us to get into that realm. To where really this, Jesus Christ, His Word, is really, honestly, the most important thing in our life, in reality. Not say it with the lips, but our life prove that He's the most important one in our life. Oh yeah, and to look at us, we're fine looking Christians, we may say. We may find that we maybe know what Brother Branham said about this, and we know what the Scripture says, and we know this, that, and the other. But I'm talking about something where the Holy Spirit can make that real in our life. Really real. He says things are just so temporal, aren't they? Absolutely. So temporal. You tell me any of it's going to last, friends. And some of you are getting already at the age, and I'm getting that age where places I lived when I was a child, places I used to play and have fun, have fallen down, rotted away, gone. It's so temporal. The old automobiles I had, some of them scrapped, melted down. Some of the wonderful animals that I had and raised from things, gone, dead. Some of the many loved ones I've had in my life, dead, gone. Yeah. What you can see with your eyes is so temporal. But what is our spiritual condition of being able to really recognize it all temporal? And only the things that are unseen are eternal. Can I read the Scripture? The Scripture is here again in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not, Paul had this revelation. While we look not, he done caught a reality. We look not. Can we catch the same reality? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Now we may think, praise God, I know that Scripture. And I can tell you all about it, Brother Steve. But it is a reality in your heart and mind. Is it real? Or is it just something we talk about? And something we know, we say, if we say to know. Is it really real in such a way that the reality of it being in our heart is shown by what this thing does and what this thing says? Amen. Is it really real? See, there's so much in God's Word that if the Holy Ghost don't make it real, friends, we can think we are living it, being deceived in this most deceitful age it ever was. We can think we're living it, or we can think we're Christians, believe we're Christians, when really we ain't. Because a Christian is to be Christ-like. That's what a Christian is. You see? So, again, what is this to me? With all this junk that's around us, what is it with all these nice things, we may say? Yes, and it's a blessing. It's a good thing to have. It's nice to have nice things. But is there something inside of us to be able to keep that dead and where it's just where that prophet said, there's no meaning of it to us at all. Yes, we appreciate what God lets us borrow, because none of it's really ours. No. We're just using it. You see? But again, what kind of revelation do I have? What kind of revelation do you have to how we approach this very thought? What do we do with it? You see? In Power of Transformation, paragraph 11, this one was October 31st, 1965. He said, some of you are plumbers. Some of you are carpenters. Yeah. Some are this, some are that. Some of you work in a factory. Some of us work on cars. Yeah. Some of us are homemakers. Some of us are different things. Yeah. Some of us work on fire extinguishers. Yeah. Some of us work at hospitals, do maintenance. Some take care of taxes, appraisals and things. Yeah. Some stay at home, work in gardens. Yeah. Some work in clay pipes, on clay tiles and pipes and things. Yeah. We all do something, don't we? Even your sisters. Because you're homemakers. Yeah. So, listen. You rub arms with the world each day. When you're out there, see? But when you see those things and great temptations rise, just remember these little sacred places where you're sitting together tonight. With the only thing that lasts, heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Ain't that what he said?
Amen.
Yes. But everything else ain't gonna last. What you make won't last. Nope. What you build won't last. What you work on won't last. Yeah. And we may think and put so much into it and so much thought and so much care and so much, and I'm not saying by no means to do things wrong and in a ragged way. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. You see? Christians should do things right. Yes. But how much affection do we put into it? Do we recognize these things as being temporal? Or do we recognize them and think about them as things that's going to last forever? It'll never last forever. Nope. I don't care how well it's built, how strong, how thick, what it's made out of. It'll never last forever. Because one day it'll burn all up. Even if they can make it last for a few hundred years. Yeah. He says, gather here together, sitting together with the only thing that lasts. Your jobs will fail. Well, that's happened many times. He said, well, your jobs will fail one of these days. Your health will fail. Yeah, it will. One of these days it'll fail.
Amen.
You might live to be a lot longer than some, but it'll fail. There's no way you're going to live forever in this body.
Right.
It's going to fail. And in regards to how good we take care of it, it'll fail. We want to take care of best we can to make it go as long as we can. And so you can live a good quality life. But it'll fail. Yeah. He said, even your life here on earth will fail. But then that won't fail. He's talking about the word now. That won't fail. And if he is the center of all things, then let's keep our minds on the center post. That's what I want you to think about tonight. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit by bringing these things out. I'll never have time to go through it all. But I'm trusting as you sit there, the Holy Spirit will help you get your eyes on the center post. Amen. Instead of what's around you. All these temporal things, it's going to fail and rot, and where rust doth corrupt and moth eats it up. Yeah. It's not going to last. But for some reason, I believe with all my heart, God knows how all of us feel about these things. Yeah. And he lays it upon my heart, and then we talk about it and gives you the opportunity to recognize, not by what I say, but what the Word says about all these things, you see. So let's go on. In look, the message, look, April 28, 1963, and paragraph 258. And there he said, that bride is looking to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Is that really what we're looking to? Are we looking for tomorrow to build this and looking tomorrow to fix this and looking tomorrow to do that? No. Yeah, we may have to make some plans to do this, that, and other. But really, where's our heart at? And does it distract us from even talking to the Lord? That we're so wrapped up in things, we just forget Jesus Christ even exists. Until we go back to church, we call it. Now he exists. Or is he really the lover of your life? Is he the real love of your life? Is he the real first love in your life? After all he's done and what he placed you in, what he gave you, are you going to let children distract you? Are you going to let a home distract you? Are you going to let a job distract you? Are you going to let a wife distract you? Yeah. Are you going to let a husband distract you? Maybe your husband's just as carnal as can be and just can't seem to be that overcomer. And he just, you know, a fly in a soup is to say. When you're wanting to serve God and his mind's just on just rambling here and there and he's just carnal as can be. Yet you're the little woman in the home that's holding things together. Or vice versa. Maybe the man of the house, the husband of the house, he's really wanting everything to be just like Christ wants it to be. And you got a wife just as dead and carnal as could be. And nothing but a distraction. Apostle Paul even warned us when it comes to that. Attend upon the Lord without distraction. Sure, he may not be saved yet, or she may not be saved yet. But are you letting it tear your life up? You letting it destroy you because you're placed in that situation? Maybe he just can't seem to get what that word's saying, and maybe he's wanting you to do carnal things and try to take you away from the word. Yeah. Maybe he wants you to sit down and watch television or make you go to the movie shows and this, that, and the other. He's just always, he's wanting to tear you apart or vice versa. Are you going to let it do that? Or who is your first love? Is Jesus Christ really your first love? Now again, God don't expect you to meet this without a desire. But if he places that desire in there, no problem. Amen. It'll work. It'll work. It'll live. It'll express. Yes. And remember, as the prophet said, if you're in situations like this, maybe even men on the job, be salty. Yeah, be salty. But how can you be salty if you're just going to get involved in the same thing? It ain't going to work. How's the wife ever going to come if you're not salty and expressing the sweetness of the Holy Spirit all the time? I often think about the little woman, you know, Brother Brown talked about, and her husband brought home some buddies, and they was all going to act like they was drunk. And they come in, and he was gruff with her and everything. Fix us some food, and fix this, do this, that, and the other. And she fixes it, and just sweet as could be, and he throws it on the floor. Can't you do any better than that? And all the time, just staying sweet as could be. Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? And before so with, she won all those men to Christ because she was salty. But today, what's the story? We get right in there with a grudge and doing this and try to fight this and fight that and expect God to move and do something. No, friends, it ain't going to work. You've got to be salty. Christ has to be displayed, and only His Holy Spirit then can work. But I just talked about what Brother Brand mentioned about that. How many of us can do that? Oh, when maybe the husband comes in, he's had a rough day, and he's coming in gruff, and he starts complaining and this, that, and the other, which should never happen. But if it does, are you filled with something enough where you can still just be as sweet? As sweet as can be? Or do you have to show your attitude? I'll straighten you up. I ain't going to put up with this. Christians? Really? Really, Christians? A Christian is so much different. A real Christian is so much different than what we call Christians today. Because we're losing the reality of what a real Christian is. A real Christ-like person really is. It's so easy for us to get involved in these things below and then turn things into a mess. Right when the time, trial and test comes and we're ready for something, a place for Christ to be expressed, we got to blow it. We got to destroy it. Because we ain't got what we talk like we have. But if you had what you talk like you have, things would be different. You see? I could say some more, but I won't. He says, his bride is looking to the coming of the Lord Jesus, which that secret coming of Christ shall come and catch away his bride in the night. Like a book I read, Romeo and Juliet, one time. How he come with a ladder and got his bride out among them. That's what Jesus will come. He said, someday, and looking for that one that is not looking for creeds, but looking to Christ, waiting for him to come, his heart centered. I want that word to become real in your heart by the time I'm done with this. I'm not saying it'll be tonight, but Christ be centered, truly centered, not talked about, not just dreamed about, but truly be centered in your life. Can be truly the greatest one that you know of. Truly be the one that you really love above everything and anything in this life. I pray the Holy Spirit will place a greater reality of that in our hearts to understand what it really is. It's not something just talked about, but it becomes real. And remember, in closing, I have a lot more, but I won't hold you long tonight. In closing, there is truly a heaven. there's truly a hell. And but what this will mean to you will become your destiny. Yes. I know it's hard for people to believe, not alone that there's a heaven, but they can't definitely believe there's a hell. But God sent us a prophet and showed us and told us what the regions was of the doomed. And what he's seen that ought to be enough, friends. That ought to be enough to let you know it's real. And you may be young, 30, 40, or younger. You may be young and full of robust and strength, but you don't realize how temporal this thing is. Amen. It's so temporal. It is so weak. We may think we're so strong and we're tough and we've got endurance. You know, men, when they become SEALs in the military, they get them so pumped up. They get them so pumped up in strength by exercise and so forth, they begin to think they're indestructible. And then they'll become to do the indestructible things they try. Become brainwashed. Yeah. But that body is going to rot just the same as anybody else's.
Amen.
Yeah. It's so weak. And you may sit there as a young man tonight. And you may think you've got a long life ahead of you. Remember, friend, only in Christ are you safe. Only in Christ. Otherwise, you're not safe. You're living on dangerous ground. Little wife, if you're not in Christ, you're living on dangerous ground. Mr. Husband, if you're not in Christ, Christ in you, you're living on dangerous ground.
Amen.
May the Holy Spirit do a work in our hearts to become more what God wants us to be. It's the reason we've gathered here tonight, to search, to see what we really are. See what we have or don't have. If we begin to find out we really don't have, I trust we'll cry out to God to get what we need. Whether it's just another revelation or understanding or being filled with the Holy Spirit. May God help every one of us. Can't stress it enough. Yeah, and someday, maybe you'll find out why God would do things like this. Through the foolishness of preaching, the souls of men shall be saved.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Won't you sisters come to the instruments, please? Trust, Lord willing, you'll come Sunday and praying and asking God to open your heart further to this precious word. Amen. And become a reality to you as an individual. Amen. As I pray, God will make it more real to me. Amen. Material things. Jobs. Homes. Automobiles. Have no meaning at all. What would a man mean by that? What about us? I don't think he just said that presumptuously. I don't think he just said that to let words go out in void. But if you understand it, the scripture will back it up. Yeah. Our Lord Jesus himself said so many things concerning that. But if we're Christians, if we're Christ-like, is that our life? Is that our life? Do we get frustrated because we cannot gain a certain thing in life, material thing? Do we get jealous because maybe one brother has something and you don't? Well, that's terrible. I would you all had a lot more than I got. Yeah. That would thrill me to death. There wouldn't be a bit of jealousy in my heart. The only thing I'd be worried is it would distract you. Yeah. Because it's so easy. And remember, all these blessings in this life, material things, is no sign of God's approval.
Right. Amen.
Not at all. No. None whatsoever. So how do we approach this everyday thing that's around us? God help us before it's over with that we'll approach it the right way. Amen. You can call me a fanatic. You can think I'm fanatic. I'm in fanaticism. It won't be fanaticism if I back it up with the Word. If I go beyond the Word, then it can go into fanaticism. But it's not. I trust you'll be able to understand it. Amen. Nothing we haven't had before. The prophet told us these things. But did it become real? Sometimes I sit around meditating, I think, in closing, I think of all the many things the prophet brought, and I wonder how many things are still in there we don't understand. It's not really real. I'm not talking about being theologically be able to talk about it. I'm talking about it being lived and manifested. It's become real in our life. That's what makes a difference. If it's become alive in our life, and our life proves it. You know, some people got the attitudes of, if I don't have a certain car and it has to be this and this certain luxury and this and other, I ain't happy. And they'll go in debt to a point where they really can't afford it and buy it anyway because they feel they have to have that. That's called living beyond your means. You see? Why can't we start out a little lower first? And if God blesses it with this, that's fine. But God will never want you to live beyond your means. No. And then get to a point you can't pay your bills. And then you're getting behind on bills. And then you don't pay people. No. And then I got to file bankruptcy. No. That's not a Christian way of doing things. No. That's not at all. The Christian way of doing things is the prophet talked about. If you can pay him a quarter, of course, that back end quarter is a lot more than it is now. But if you can pay him a quarter, keep paying it until you get it paid off. Just don't quit paying on it and say, well, forget it. I can't pay for it, so just forget it. You ain't getting no more money. It's hard to believe how many people in this message do that. Yeah. I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. I don't have to do that. Oh, you all got on the wrong boat, friend. You get on some crazy boat. Fanaticism. Yeah. Amen. If anybody will pay their bills, it's a Christian that will pay their bills. Yes. How to get on that? It's truth anyway.
Amen.
I've seen it clear through my ministry, friends. People just being Christians think they don't have to pay their bills. Yeah. And while they're not paying a bill, they'll go buy something else. Because they got credit. Surely we're smarter than that. See? One thing about it, the Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth. Yes. And you will live in the truth. Amen. I might as well say this too while I'm on it. But it'll make someone think. Think about what you do. You may be young right now. You might be middle-aged. But be careful what you do. by buying something really expensive and big. Yeah. Because you ain't always going to be that young. And that might be a 30-year loan. Where you're going to be then, 30 years later.
Amen.
You may not even be able to work. Then who's going to make that payment of $1,700 a month? Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove in all your business and what you do. Think before you do. Ask God to lead you by the Holy Spirit. Well, my job will hold up. You don't. I'm telling you, there ain't nobody sitting here that's got a job you know that's going to hold up.
Right.
Nah. So, brother, you may look at me and say, "Well, people's going to keep wrecking cars." Who's to say insurance companies won't go bankrupt? Especially in this day and age. Is people going to get the cars fixed then? No. They won't have the money to fix them. And it could be gone in a couple months. Yeah. Well, I do this and this is going to last. No, it ain't. Nope. No way it'll last. There ain't nobody sitting there with a job that'll last. No. And, you know, I was thinking about even Brother Glenn there, you know, he's got pizza, you know. That won't even last. That's right. Just think of that. It won't even last. Oh, why wouldn't it, Brother Steve? We've got to eat. Well, it's true. We got to eat. But what if it gets so bad there's famines in the land as the Bible speaks of and there's no grain? And then barely any animals left. Oh, then there would be no food. Yeah. Oh, that won't happen in the United States. Oh, it very well could. Very easily. Yes. Very easily. So there's no, and I didn't mean anything about his what he does or anything like that, but I'm just showing you, show me anything that could last forever. We don't even have an assurance it could last another year. Any of us, what we do. Do we? Prove it to me. Scripture tells us otherwise. You see? So, how we ought to be so careful with everything we do and make sure, now you'll get it Sunday when we get to it, make sure it's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because He knows things way before you know. Right? Absolutely. He knows all about it. All right. I've said enough. Pray I've said something that'll help you. Maybe help everybody. I don't know. Trust something in the Word has helped you a little closer with the Lord, you know. All right, let us all stand. Amen. Oh, I love Him. I appreciate Him. Amen. He's so wonderful. Let's sing a little chorus, "Jesus Be the Lord of All." Amen. We haven't sung it for a while. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all, the kingdoms of my heart. And if you can't be how sincere you are about it? If He can't be Lord of all, then don't be Lord at all in my life. Don't let me be a hypocrite. Don't let me be one that would just be a hindrance to you, Lord. But I want you to be Lord of all in my life. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our head for a moment of prayer. We want to also, we have a note here that they requested prayer even for Sister Irma. That's Brother Paul's mother and the family. She was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and in hospice now. So they want us to remember the family because it's something very hard on right now. And it would be. It's terrible. It's how quickly things like that can happen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you for our sister and Brother Paul and his family, Lord. You know the situation. And Father, we know at this point that only a miracle can save her life. And I don't know what you have, Lord, in store. You haven't revealed it to me, Father, but I know that you know what it would be. But Father, you said you would that we'd prosper and be in health. And Lord Jesus, I know I'm just a little person, Lord, but Father, you gave us your word that we could ask whatever we desire, and you give us the desire of our heart. And Father, we pray for our sister. Lord, if be your will, Lord, because I don't know your will, but Lord, I can't stand here like the prophet did. And Lord, I don't know what faith she has. I don't know where she stands, Lord, as far as that, as the prophet showed us we needed. But as he prayed for many people, crossed through that line, he said, now it depends on your faith now. Depends on your faith. Unless it was something directly as you'd give him a vision and show him. And then that would ignite that person's faith. But Lord, you know all these things. But Lord, our desire is, Lord, to see our sister well. And we trust, Lord, that that's what you'll do. A miracle? Yes, that's what it's going to take now, Lord. A complete miracle. They said it's through her bones, her lungs, her liver, her brain. It's clear through her body. And only a miracle can save her. So, Lord Jesus, I ask that you touch her. Oh, God. Bless the family as they go through this, and may they get closer to you, Lord, through it all. Touch their lives, O God. There's always a purpose and a reason for everything you let happen, Father. But we ask now thy will be done. And Lord, we thank you for the service tonight. We pray that you'll lead us and guide us to all truth and righteousness. And be with us now and protect us, keep us safe as we travel upon the highways. We love you, Lord. Forgive us of our shortcomings. When we stand in your presence and stand before the word, Lord, there's so many times we see our short places. And we're thankful for that, but just give us grace to overcome and to help us to be what you want us to be. We ask it now to your glory and your honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the God bless you. You're dismissed.